This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop.
Yeah,
stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and wrong. Here is Steve Gruber.
Well, the president was in full pitch mode when he went to Indiana yesterday to unveil the tax plan he'd like to see put into place, although I think he'd like to see deeper cuts in some ways. But the president was in full salesman mood, knocking on the door of America, promising historic tax relief to the American people as he tries to build momentum behind the plan to overhaul the nation's tax code, first major overhauls in 30 years to revive his moribund legislative agenda in Congress. Hours after the White House and congressional Republicans released a framework for making sweeping changes to the system, the president there at the Indiana State Fairgrounds said it's a once-in-a-generation opportunity, and he may well be right. Reducing from 7 tiers of tax to just 3, 35, 25, and 12% for individuals. And Tim Walberg says the narrative, we just had Congressman Tim Walberg on the program, if you missed it. Congressman Tim Walberg says the narrative that the 10% tax rate went to 12% is complete nonsense. He said, no, the 10% tax rate went to 0. 10% went to 0. And 25 went to 12, and so on and so forth. And he said the Democratic narrative that somehow the lowest tax rate increased from 10 to 12% is wrong. In fact, he pointed out that the standard deductions for an individual go to $12,000, for a married couple to $24,000, nearly doubling both, which is a big savings for a lot of families, especially at the lower income levels. It will mean more people don't pay any tax at all. And of course, the fight is over how it looks to people, because the proposal includes also reducing the highest marginal tax rate from 39.6% to just 35%, which would give some people a break at the top. However, Donald Trump says for him, it would mean more taxes. And for high tax states, it would mean big changes. And if you didn't, I'd never heard of this before until we got into this tax discussion. I didn't realize that states like New York and California, New Jersey and Connecticut all get great benefit. Basically, we subsidize their high state and local taxes because they are allowed to deduct, to write those off. Manhattan leads the way nationally in taking that deduction, with residents writing off an average of $24,898 on their federal returns. Now, that's a big deal. The perk has been there since 1913, and it's most heavily used in coastal, mostly blue states, like the ones I mentioned, New York, California, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Repealing that would increase federal revenue by $1.3 trillion over a decade. The problem is, a lot of those states are going to push back and push back hard, because they don't want to lose the gravy train. They don't want that to get derailed. The administration and the Republican Tax Committee have put this plan together over many weeks and agreed on the framework, but a lot of details still have to come in, and committees have to get together, and there's a lot of negotiating to do. But it certainly would make it easier. And there's room still, say many sources, to add a fourth higher rate if necessary to ensure the wealthy pay their fair share of taxes in this country. The income levels for each of these brackets, 12, 25, and 35, and possibly there could still be a 39.6 or something of that nature, those will be decided by congressional committees going forward. The question, the real question to me, is can the United States Senate get this through? Because putting through deductions like this, the standard deduction going from $12,000 to $24,000 for a married couple, that benefits people like me and most middle-income, middle-class Americans. So clearly, I fully support that idea of keeping more of my money to put my kids through college or pay the mortgage or whatever it is we do when we go to work every day. It's my money after all. But the federal government has laid claim to it since 1913. We do our best to wrestle back and forth. Also, the death tax would be eliminated. The estate tax altogether, which I fully support because I think it's detrimental to small businesses and family farms. And why should the government penalize me for working my whole life? I've paid taxes my whole life. Why should they penalize me when I'm dead, take my estate away, and give it to somebody else? Frankly, who the hell do they think they are? The alternative minimum tax would also be repealed under this plan, but I'm guessing that may come back. If you don't have a top tax rate of 39.6, and you have three brackets of 12, 25, and 35, I find it highly likely that the alternative minimum tax might return as they negotiate through. Now, the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, called the elimination of the state and local tax deduction a death blow to New York. Says it would put the state in a horrible competitive disadvantage. And congressional Republicans had also pleaded with those putting together the plan to stay away from that. They said it amounts to an unfair double tax. Well, wait a second. We're all paying our taxes out here. I don't get to write off my state tax or any local taxes. And because you choose to live where you choose to live, why should I subsidize that? And the answer is no need to do that. But it could cause problems. Republicans from New Jersey and California are already crying foul. Congressmen like Dan Donovan and Peter King of New York say it could be enough to sink the whole proposal in the House. I doubt it, though. More than 3.2 million people in the state of New York, that's about 35% of those that pay taxes, claim their state and local taxes as deductions on the federal returns. Of course, those that benefit most are those that are in the six figures and higher. The plan also calls for higher, substantially higher, in fact, child tax credits. A new $500 credit for non-child dependents like aging parents and others that could be in your home because you're doing the right thing. That sounds like something positive there. One senior official said this, "We are committed to making sure the tax code is at least as progressive as the existing tax code and does not shift the tax burden from high income to low and middle income taxpayers." Corporations, by the way, would see their top tax rate cut from 35 to 20% under this plan. For a period of 5 years, companies could further reduce how much they pay by immediately expensing their investment in capital goods, which is another big deal. But there is some question about the pass-through income. S-corps, pass-through income corporations. S-corps, down to 25%, but as we just learned from Congressman Tim Walberg, he actually says that's a floating number. Pass-through corporations would pay between 20 and 25%. It depends on their income levels and so forth. But if John Deere is able to cut their corporate tax rate to 20% by changing their status from S-Corp to something different, why wouldn't they? And I guess that's something for the lawyers and the accountants to figure out at a corporation that size, but it's a question that would have to be put forward. Why would John Deere stay as a pass-through S-Corp if they could become something different? But it's just the first day of the tax debate. And who knows if the U.S. Senate can get its act together long enough to put anything through these days. It's 14 after. You're listening to The Steve Gruber Show.